University Broadcast Studio. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. And I love this American ride.
Todd Starrs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, many of you who have listened to this program for almost 3 years, July 5th will be the three-year anniversary of the Todd Starrs radio program. You know that we catch a lot of flack from the mainstream media. We catch a lot of flack from the Never Trumpers, and they love coming after this radio program. And we document this all the time. Look, just a few days ago, the New York Times. Oh, by the way, a welcome to the Todd Starrs Radio Show. Great to have you with us today on this Thursday edition of the program. A couple of days ago, the New York Times came out with this explosive piece that accused me, the host of this radio program, of being responsible for the accusations that Antifa was behind the violence and the protest across the country. So they're blaming me and suggesting that I just made up the term Antifa. And people actually believe this nonsense. So I say that because I want to talk about an issue, and I know that many of you who listen to this show may have a different opinion about what's happening with the Kung Flu, the China virus. And some of you are buying into what the scientists are telling us at the CDC, depending on what day of the week it is, because their opinions always change. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Quarantine, don't quarantine. Go to the beach, don't go to the beach. It's very hard to keep up with these people. So, but some of you have genuine opinions about what's happening with this virus. But I want to, and the reason I say this, just a few minutes ago, let me back up here. Last night, I received a message from one of our listeners in North Carolina. They listened to us on the Talk Station in Morehead City. They said, Todd, you're not going to believe this, but the governor of our state, who's a Democrat, Roy Cooper, has just announced mandatory mask policies. But beyond that, the governor has also implemented rules governing how many people can get together for an activity. I want to read to you from WRAL.com. That's the out of Raleigh, North Carolina. Starting Friday, 5 o'clock, you will be required to wear a mask in public across the entire state of North Carolina. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if it's 110 degrees outside. You will have to wear a face mask in public across the entire state. The governor, Roy Cooper, who is a Democrat, said any business and any customer who does not comply with his orders will be fined, will be punished, will be charged with a crime. According to WRAL, law enforcement can use trespassing laws to help businesses enforce these rules when customers refuse to obey them. So let's say, for the sake of this conversation, you go into the Walmart and the person at the front desk says, excuse me, sir, but you have to wear a mask. And if you are not wearing a mask, they can call the police and you can be charged with trespassing. Or let's just say you're down at McDonald's or Wendy's. If it hasn't been burned out by Antifa, and you want to go in, you want to order the single with cheese with the fries and the frosty, and you don't have a mask on, and there's a police officer in the restaurant, he can charge you with a crime in North Carolina starting Friday. I mean, this is pretty nefarious stuff. Now, so this was last night, and then just a few moments ago, right before this show was coming on the air, I received a message from my staff. Now, many of you know that I do a lot of public speaking engagements, and it's a lot of fun, and I always love getting out there and meeting our listeners and speaking at various and sundry places. And I have been invited to be the keynote speaker for the North Carolina Republican Party's prayer breakfast, which is a big event there. And we had graciously accepted, and we were getting ready for plans to go there. And just a few moments ago, we received the following message from the North Carolina Republican Party. We just wanted to let you know to hold off on making any travel arrangements for Todd. I was planning on driving, but I think they wanted to fly me. That was very nice, but, you know, I like driving. Not too terribly far from Memphis, Tennessee to Raleigh, North Carolina. Today, our governor made a shocking move by limiting all gatherings to 25 people. He's also started mandating masks in public. I spoke to the executive director at the North Carolina Republican Party. They are at a loss. They are considering their options, including any potential legal challenges. This is all I know. They're supposed to have a meeting in the next 24 to 48 hours. They'll keep us posted. Sorry for the uncertainty. So here's my recommendation to the North Carolina Republican Party. You hold that prayer meeting. You hold the prayer breakfast. You defy your governor. Governor cannot tell you that people of faith can't get together and hold a prayer breakfast and hold a prayer gathering. And I'll make a promise to the North Carolina Republican Party. I'll be there. If you hold that prayer breakfast, Todd Starnes, the host of this radio program, will be in North Carolina. I'll be more than willing to stand up to your governor. I'll be more than willing to stand up to this godless heathen tyrant. I will be more than happy to take a stand for freedom and liberty in the Tar Heel State. But this is what I'm talking about here, folks. We've got to stand up. We've got to put skin in the game here. And I don't know what the North Carolina Republican Party is going to do, but I hope that they decide this is the line in the sand. We're going to hold this gathering. We're going to pray. The governor of North Carolina is not going to stop us from praying. So if I've already told my team here, if they decide that they're going to go ahead and go forward with this, you better believe I'm going to be there. And I'm more than willing. If they want to cart me off to jail, they'll have to cart me off to jail, but they'll do it while I am speaking and praying as they're hauling me out the front door. I can promise you that right now, folks. This is nuts. And I'm telling you, and I want you to hear me loud and clear, there is no second wave of the coronavirus. What's happening is an attack on our nation and an attack on this administration. They want to destroy the economy to destroy Donald Trump. Now, some of you, and that's the part where some of you may disagree. And we're going to take all calls today. 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number. 844-747-8868. But I want to go back to the beginnings of the coronavirus here for just a moment. Because I caught holy you-know-what from NBC News and the New York Times, just about every major mainstream media publication and cable news channel came after me. And we've got to go back and you've got to understand what's going on here. Because I believe that as bad as this virus is, this is not the apocalypse. Now, at the time, I was living in New York City when the virus first broke out. And the national news reports had people believing that it was apocalyptic in New York City, that every single hospital in the entire city had been overflowing with patients. People were waiting in lines in the freezing cold, in the rain and the snow, waiting to get in so they could be treated. People were literally dropping dead in parking lots. You remember the news stories? Well, it just so happened that directly across from my apartment building in downtown Brooklyn, New York, was a hospital, the Brooklyn Hospital Center. And I thought to myself, as I'm looking out I had a beautiful apartment with the beautiful skyline views of Manhattan and the Empire State Building and that hospital. So I thought to myself, my goodness, that is insane. I cannot believe that there's that much chaos and carnage in the neighborhood. So I walked outside and everything looked fairly calm. I walked across the street and down the block to the hospital, and I decided to turn my camera on and record a Facebook Live video from outside of this hospital. There were no throngs of people waiting to get into the hospital to be treated. There were no throngs of people waiting in line to be tested. There was no chaos. It was a very calm scene, and I filmed every single thing that I saw. I called the hospital to see if we could speak to somebody. They said no, there was no one available. I called again and emailed again, and finally, a few days later, I went back and asked to see someone. They put me on the phone, and the person on the phone said, well, it's, you know, we have beds available. There are, you know, again, we sent out messages to every hospital in New York City asking them a series of questions. Do you have enough hospital beds? Do you have enough equipment and supplies? Are you, you know, what are you doing with patients who you don't have room for? We only received one response back, and that was from a hospital that said no comment. But finally, we were able to talk to somebody at the Brooklyn Hospital Center. And I'll never forget this. I had to walk into the lobby. They took my temperature. There was the security guard. And the security guard picked up the phone, called the public information officer. The public information officer on the phone, and he knew exactly who I was. And he said, well, Mr. Starnes, to be honest with you, we do have hospital beds available. And yes, we are filled, but we have room for people. We are treating patients. And so I shared that information. And man, holy hell was unleashed on this radio program and my website. But the facts are the facts, folks. And what happened? What do we now know about the early days of this global pandemic? We know it was not nearly as bad as the mainstream media was trying to tell us it was. And we know that because guess what happened? They brought in a big hospital medical ship from the military. It what? About two dozen, three dozen people were treated on that big ship. They turned the convention center into a makeshift hospital. Thousands of beds. Those beds were empty. They set up a huge field hospital in the middle of Central Park. About 50 or 60 people were treated in that medical field hospital. And yet the mainstream media continued to advance this narrative, and we saw this happening all over America. It just was not in New York City. The same thing happened in Los Angeles, where they dispatched the other military medical ship, and nobody was on that ship. Many cities around this country converted their convention centers into makeshift military hospitals, but they were not needed. Now, again, I'm not saying that this is a make-believe disease. The virus is there. It's real. People are getting sick. But the majority of people, the overwhelming majority of people are getting better. So why is it? Why is it that now all of a sudden we've got this so-called second wave, and you've got all of these blue states wanting to shut down their states and their borders? Why is that? We've got to take a break here, and I want to answer that question, but I want to take your calls as well, because something nefarious is going on here. They're playing politics here, folks, and I think it's time for all of us to stand up and defy the law here, especially in North Carolina. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Look, we're going to work in phone calls as much as possible throughout the show. And as you know, we have a standing rule here. If you disagree with me, you get moved right to the top of the list. So we're going to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Elizabeth is on the line. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, Elizabeth. You disagree with my position on masks in public.
Yeah, I think you and I disagree on probably everything, but I was driving through Chattanooga and just happened to be flipping through a radio station hearing this, and I currently have a grandmother who's dying from COVID and just could not believe the commentary that your propaganda really that you're inciting with people to gather in these large groups. This is being done to protect others, and it's just this is not a Democratic or a liberal versus Republican issue. This is a global pandemic that began outside of the United States, and across the world, everyone seems to get it, but the United States. And so to be able to hear this on the radio, who there are some people who probably look to you as a leader, is just against what, you know, Jesus says of keeping looking out for your neighbor and looking out for those around you. So to gather in defiance of that and call that a Republican or Christian virtue is just abhorrent to me.
Well,
I really can't wrap my head around that.
Well, sure. Well, let's talk about this, because early on the CDC told us that masks were not effective against the coronavirus. So if you're going to have all these people out there in public mandating that they wear masks, including people who have breathing problems, that exacerbates those conditions. But beyond that, Elizabeth, and again, to my point that this is all political, for the past, 3 weeks now, the country has been overrun by mobs of people protesting in the streets, burning down buildings, and most of those people are not wearing masks. And Elizabeth, you didn't hear a single Democrat in leadership condemning those protesters for being out there in large gatherings without face coverings.
Yeah, so I went to one of these protests, and every single person I was around was in a mask, and I took the social responsibility to get tested after and was negative. So when you try to blame it on Democrats or people standing up for their basic human rights and decency, everyone is out there being responsible. And then you see these previous protests, demanding haircuts and demanding access back into things that are not basic human rights or necessities without masks, shouting in people's faces. So you can't ignore that evidence.
Well, the evidence is pretty clear, Elizabeth. Well, Elizabeth, I mean, look at the TVs. I mean, it's pretty clear to me. You can actually see the people. They're not wearing the masks. They're not wearing the face masks. And I'm wondering if we're talking about a certain...
You're watching some distorted imagery.
Oh, really? Distorted imagery. All right. Well, answer this question for me. Is it possible that they're saying there's this uptick, there's this second wave. Is it possible that the uptick could be the result of all of these people congregating on these public streets protesting without wearing face masks?
Are you speaking about those that were shouting in police officers' faces on the Capitol, storming, demanding the country be left open? Because that was the incubation rate. It was 2 weeks after that is when we saw a surge.
Yeah, so Elizabeth, as far as I know, this is my radio program, and we're going to let you have your say, but you have to let me talk. All right, you've got to be polite. All right, we're a polite radio talk show here, so I'll give you a chance to speak in a moment. The issue here, Elizabeth, is that when those people were going up demanding that the states be reopened and that people be allowed to plant a vegetable garden, they weren't burning things down. They weren't beating police over the heads with Molotov cocktails and trying to blow them up. Were they, Elizabeth? The answer is no.
They were shouting with armed rifles, and I think that you've got
Did they fire those rifles, Elizabeth? Wait. Did they fire those? You know what? Hey, Elizabeth, hang tight. We're coming up on a break. Can you hang tight for just a minute? We've got to take a quick break. 844-747-8868. Folks, we've got a real live liberal on the line, so we're going to keep the conversation going. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. So what happened to call screener Avery? Did we lose Elizabeth? Did she hang up? Is she angry with us? What happened?
No, she didn't hang up. She only had a few minutes left on her drive. As I'm sure many of the listeners could hear, there was a lot of noise in the background, and that was her driving in a car, and she's almost at her destination, so she didn't have
time. Very upset with us. Very upset.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, we enjoy that here at the Todd Stearns Show. We enjoy opposition. It makes for good radio and good conversation and good learning opportunities.
And we love hearing from liberals, leftists. If you want to call in, we like debating with you and talking. But let's be honest here, folks. There's no denying that what's happening now with this Kung Flu China virus, it's all politics. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to switch gears just briefly to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program, running for the U.S. Senate in the great state of Georgia, Congressman Doug Collins. Congressman, good to have you back with us.
Hey, it's always good to be back.
Hey, look, I...
A little different position. They yell at me all the time, so...
Yeah, just a regular day here at the radio show.
Yeah, it's all Thursday for me.
You know, Congressman, I wanted to really to salute you for the great work you're doing standing alongside law enforcement there in the state of Georgia. It's one thing to put out a press release, but you're there, boots on the ground, standing up for these police officers and calling out this district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia.
Yeah, what we're seeing down here, folks who might not be familiar, we had the shooting of Mr. Brooks in Georgia. And without the Georgia Bureau of Investigations coming back with their report or not even being consulted, the district attorney, Paul Howard, in Fulton County, went ahead and charged the police officers involved with murder. And, you know, it's just a sad situation given the fact that the district attorney, Howard, is in the middle of a runoff for his reelection. He's struggling to maintain his job, but yet he was very willing to throw police under the bus, so to speak, just to get back to scramble for a few votes. And that's not the way prosecutorial actions should be. They should be free of justice, should be free of race, should be free of political bias, and should be free of socioeconomic background. It needs to be for all involved fair, and that's what's not happening right now.
I mean, and in all honesty, how would the district attorney feel? Because he's under investigation. How would he feel if he was hauled off to jail before his investigation had been completed?
Well, yeah, and I mean, for someone who's being investigated for funneling money to his own nonprofit, you know, to actually say, oh, well, we're going to charge somebody else, and he would pitch a fit, and he would claim it was bias, and he would claim it was unfair, and he would claim injustice and everything else. But again, when you're making – it just goes to serve my point. That's why it's a political process here. That's why we're seeing him, you know, forming in a political way instead of a way that promotes justice. And what we're seeing right now by his actions, the police department don't feel that they have the backup to do their job. So you're having instances like on University Avenue, which is just south of literally blocks from the Capitol, in which you've had armed vigilantes actually taking over and blocking streets and doing things in which they are acting out, and the police are not able to go in and fix that because they don't feel like they have the backup from the district attorney or the mayor down there.
Yeah, a few days ago, we played some audio on the radio show from WSB. There were a couple of white kids, and you could tell they were the woke kids, you know, that they're on the left side of the aisle there. And they were just stunned because they're huge supporters of Black Lives Matter. The two white kids were just trying to get to the interstate, and they got stopped. Guns to the faces, and told them that they did not have the right to be on that street because they were white, and they were just dumbfounded, you know, that they just couldn't understand what was going on here. But to your point, this is a very, I mean, it's, you want to chuckle, but this is a very serious, dangerous law enforcement issue, and there is no law and order in that area because of the policies of the mayor and this district attorney down there.
I agree, and that's what I just encourage others to speak up and to encourage to people to look at the facts. No one is saying that there's a predetermined outcome to this, but what we are saying, there always should be a predetermined bent toward justice. You know, let the investigation go along, see what the other officers have said, see what they've come up with, and then you make your determination. You don't go into it in a sense of saying, I have a predetermined what I'm going to talk about, and then I'll just try to fit the facts, you know, to go along. Because it just taints the entire process from now till whenever the case ends up in trial or whatever happens to it. You've now started it off on the wrong foot. It's almost impossible to get it back on the right foot.
Congressman, I wanted to get your take on another big issue around the country, these monuments. We're getting word President Trump wanting to send out the National Guard. U.S. Marshals are apparently being told nationwide that they're going to be responsible for protecting these monuments. What do you think about the president's actions here?
Well, the president's standing for just rule and law and order, just as he stood with those who were peacefully protesting and those who were calling for change and civil disobedience and marches and other things. He's standing for what the law says, desecrating monuments. Look, in Washington, D.C. right now, they actually took down the bust of George Washington. Now, get this, on George Washington University in the city of Washington, D.C., they're trying to take away the Emancipation Monument, the freeing of the slaves and them coming up. They've actually marked and spray painted the World War II exhibit. They've went after the Lincoln Memorial. This is not about a march at this point. This is about, frankly, petty criminal acts. And this just needs to stop. We're better than this. We can come together and acknowledge, you know, the past. We can look forward and acknowledge the wrongs. But are we coming out on the better side of this? Is what we need to do.
You know, I know you're in the throes of a campaign there, and you know we believe on this radio station and this radio program that you are the true pro-Trump conservative in this race for the U.S. Senate. You know, Carly Fiorina just a little while ago came out and announced that she's supporting Joe Biden. And Congressman, I think this just serves as a perfect example and an opportunity to remind people what Republicans in name only look like, act like, and who they are. And there are a lot of them out there. And we, you know, people need to know. They need to be aware when they go to vote on Election Day what they're really voting for.
Oh, exactly. There's another name for that, for what she's doing. It's called Democrat. What we always get mixed up into in the journalistic areas, and everybody's now touting a Republican voting for Joe Biden. Are we really talking about a Republican who vote for Joe Biden? I don't think so. You're talking about someone whose values probably, are interestingly misaligned with probably much of what the Republican Party stands for. And if she wants to go away and not vote for the Republican Party standard bearer, there's other ways to do that. But actually calling it out like this, I mean, look, this is not the first time. It was imperative that the House impeach the president earlier last year. So, again, this is another talking point from the sad perspective of, look, vote for who you want to, but also don't try to run for cover saying, well, I'm really a Republican and Trump is not. You know, let's just not say that.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, you've gone viral on Twitter. I don't know if you knew this, but this video of you at the hearing yesterday on the Justice Department oversight. This is fascinating stuff. Turns out one of the whistleblowers actually had admitted that he had wanted to work for Jerry Nadler during the impeachment proceedings. What's that all about?
Yeah, I mean, when you come in as a whistleblower but get exposed as a political hack, that's the problem. And I think the videos are actually doing that. And I'm a little bit older and viral. I heard something about being viral, and I just wanted to make sure when they told me that I had went viral, it wasn't a sickness, and I wasn't that good. But the liberals are not happy when you call out truth, and that's exactly what we did yesterday. And if you watch the video, and I'd encourage people to go to our Twitter page at Rep. Doug Collins and watch it. The gentleman he got caught, and he came in his opening statements talking about how he was a career prosecutor and he left his politics at the door, and we just exposed it. And it's really sad because, you know, it just demeans what a true whistleblower is, someone who is coming forward at the fear of their job because something is wrong. And the two yesterday were just not that. They were there for political purposes, for Jerry Nadler's sideshow, and that's what happened.
Yeah, we're gonna post the video on our live show blog. You had him dead to rights there, Congressman, and the look on that man's face, it was like that moment right before the Acme anvil drops on Wile E. Coyote's head. It was a beautiful moment.
There we go. Well, I mean, again, truth will come out, and we just got to keep fighting for it, and that's what I'm going to continue to do, and I promised it to my voters and the voters of Georgia. That's what we're going to do.
All right, Congressman Doug Collins, running for the U.S. Senate in the state of Georgia. Great American. Congressman, thank you.
It's always good to be with you, Todd. Take care.
All right. Good guy right there. We will post that video on our live show blog. Folks, got to take a break here. When we get back, opening up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Toll free number, that's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're with Todd Starnes.
All All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Hey, by the way, Charlie Kirk is coming up on today's show. Also, our good friend Jerry Falwell Jr. is going to be here. Right now, though, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Let's say hello to Mark, listening to us on our live stream from the Villages in lovely Florida. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you? I was saying that I closed with Brian Kilmeade and I'm opening with you. If you get arrested, I'll come bail you out. That's not going to be a problem. I'll come get you.
Mark, thank you for that.
And the thing is, too, with your last caller, you definitely earned your pay with her. I would have asked her where her stance were on these monuments that were taken down, because she sounded pretty angry with you.
Well, and that's fine. I mean, you know, that's what they pay us the big bucks for here, Mark. We're happy to deal with the aggrieved leftist. But the reality is, there's been a very clear double standard. For 3 weeks now, they have unleashed these mobs of anarchists on American streets without masks, putting God knows how many people's lives in danger, and not a single person raised that as an issue in the mainstream media or the Democrat Party. And as soon as that all stopped, or at least eased up a little bit, now all of a sudden, when people want to go to church or have a prayer breakfast, now all of a sudden, that becomes some sort of a felonious crime.
This is an attack on this presidency. We all know that. We all know it's an attack. And the thing is, they're talking about making everybody wear masks in North Carolina. I remember years ago when I lived there, it was nothing like it is today. But to make people wear masks, you're trying to defund the police. You think they're going to sit there and enforce people that are not wearing the mask? You know how many people are going to be walking around in defiance? You're saying, you're not going to tell me to wear this mask. The bottom line is, they're defunding the police. You don't have enough of them as it is now. And you're going to sit there and make them watch people that are wearing masks and get a life. The thing is, the bottom line is, they know that this minute, they're trying to attack this administration and keep them in lockdown, thinking that these Americans are not going to go out and vote in these silent majorities. But you look at Hillary Clinton, if she had gotten into office, the corruption would have been endless. And it's already carrying over with Obama. And you can see it, but with his lying and what they did to Flynn is just disgusting. As I told Brian Kilmeade, it's just unacceptable that what they want to do to this country and tear it down and destroy it. And they're willing to sacrifice putting in a Biden to destroy it because they don't like Trump. You know, you get women, well, I don't like the way he talks, that's why I'm not voting for him. We're not voting for him because of the way he talks, per se. We're voting for him because of what he can do for this country and how he can put it back on the map and get the economy going again. You know,
Mark, you raise a very interesting point here, Mark. Mark, hold on. You raised an interesting point here. This is not about Biden. They know Biden's not the guy. They know Biden has some, I mean, we don't know what it is, dementia, Alzheimer's, we don't know. But clearly, the cognitive skills are not there anymore. And honestly, what we're looking at, every time they turn that grainy video camera on in Biden's dark, dank basement, that is, for coast to coast, border to border, that is elder abuse. That's what we're watching here. This is not about Biden, Mark. This is about whoever the vice president's going to be. That's the missing link here. So that's who you need to be watching out for. And whoever that person is going to be some sort of a far left Bernie Sanders progressive, somebody who will be to the left of Bernie Sanders. They may not admit it, but they will be. Just mark my words. Mark, appreciate the call. Thank you for listening to us. Let's go to Portland, Oregon. Kathy, listening to us on the live stream. Hi, Kathy. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Catalina Aki. Okay. This is Kathy. I live east of Portland. I have a horrible governor, Kate Brown. She told all the people in Lincoln County, if you were black, you didn't have to wear a mask. But starting 2 days ago, everybody else in the state has to wear a mask.
Yeah, Kathy, let me ask you about that, because we talked about that on the show yesterday. We actually read the ordinance, and they're saying that, you know, if you're black or a person of color, you don't have to wear the mask. But all you white people, you got to wear the masks. What are people saying about that?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm saying about it. I'm an activist for Recall Kate Brown. So this is, I don't want to go get convoluted because my brain goes faster than my mouth sometimes. But what happened is I was out there just feeling people out about how they are politically. And when somebody gives me a love for Trump and stuff, I say, well, you want to sign my petition? Yes. So it sort of all ties in. I think what happened with the county is that so many people were saying she was a she was overstepping her bounds because people were saying this was more of a racist move than she recognized, because it was like you can't recognize a black person if they have a mask, you know, for the policeman. If they were wearing a mask, they would be suspect or something. It was very, very strange. But anyway, I think it was backpedaled, and now everybody has to wear a mask in Lincoln County. So thing that's going on in Oregon is that nobody here wants to wear a freaking mask except for, and I'm going to let you coin my, use my phrase I've coined, which is called the left-brainers. Only the left-brainers want to wear masks. And that's because the cells on the right side of the brain do not work. Only the left side of the brain is working. That's why when they see things and you have an argument with Elizabeth about what's going on and she only saw masks in the crowd and no non-masks in the protester crowd, that's a left-brainer for you.
Kathy, I really would have loved for Elizabeth to, I wish you would have been able to pull off to the side of the road or pull into a Wendy's parking lot or something so we could have finished the conversation. Because again, we have to expose the sheer hypocrisy of all of this nonsense. For example, in the state of Nevada, and all you folks listening to us on the Nevada Talk Network, you know this. It's okay to go into a casino, but you can't go into a church house. You're not allowed to do that. In North Carolina, you can get out there and you can tear down the monuments. You can burn things in the streets. That's okay, according to your Democrat governor. But the Republicans are not allowed to get together for a prayer breakfast. That's not right. So, look, Kathy, I really like what you have to say. We're coming up against,
I have another point, if you let me.
We've got 20 seconds. 20 seconds, go.
Isn't there an unpopulated territory where all of the left-brainers can go? We could put up some papier-mâché statues and let them have at it.
Well, I got Berkeley's available, I guess, over in California. I don't know. Kathy, you're awesome. Give us a call back one of these days. Kathy out in Portland, Oregon. Wow, she's in the belly of the beast. Not even wearing a mask. There you go. All right, look, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. I want to hear from you folks in North Carolina. What are you going to do? You're going to wear a mask in public? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.